God is good all the time. Would you turn to Psalm 103? Sounds good. Psalm 103. Is everybody there? In verse 1, let's speak it together. It says, "Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his what? Benefits." Now, it starts out with "bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that's within me." In other words, when you bless the Lord, you're obedient to him. That's the greatest way you can bless him. Amen? Now, in this, it's also blessing of the things that come out of your mouth. How many of y'all know that praise and worship blesses the Lord? Amen? But obedience is better than sacrifice, isn't it? Amen. So in this, he says, "Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. And don't forget his benefits." Now, benefits are associated with covenant. Everyone say covenant. In other words, when there are benefits of something, it's a covenant, isn't it? Even when you have a job, there are certain jobs that have benefits. And in these benefits, it's a part of the job. It's called covenant. And with God Almighty, there is a covenant. And so there are benefits with this covenant as long as you're a covenant keeper. As long as you maintain covenant, there are benefits. But if you don't maintain covenant, there are no benefits. Even salvation is lost when there is no maintaining of covenant. Well, I just don't believe that. It's because you don't know him. You're still living in your fantasy land of a dream. And you think this is all about religion. And it's not. This is reality. And reality is truth. And truth is the person. And the person, his name is Jesus. The Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing. And the anointing is the eternal power, presence, and truth of God Almighty. So we are in a time right now where the enemy loves to influence and infiltrate so that people become covenant compromisers, covenant complacent, thinking that God is always there for me. He's there always for us, but he's there for covenant kids. Does everybody got it? In other words, benefits are established by covenant. When you break covenant with God, sometimes it can take years to get his trust. King David went through that. In fact, King David never got restored to build the house of God, did he? Never, when he broke covenant with God. So there's a time of healing, and there's a time when we break covenant with God that there's things he will not restore. Because of a broken covenant. And there's things in our life that he does restore. But so there might be a desire in your heart that you've been wanting to do something for God all of your days, and you broke covenant. He said, forget it. There's something else you can do for me, but not that. It's the same thing with David. His desire was to build the house of God. He broke covenant with the Lord, and the Lord said, you will never build my house. Has everybody got this? So there are certain things that God will allow you to do, and there are certain things that he's saying, not anymore. We'll do something else. But he never forsakes us nor leaves us, does he? He loves us unconditionally, even when we're idiots. Amen? So again, benefits are associated with covenant, whether you believe it or not. And your belief doesn't change God's mind. Amen? He says, again, verse 2, bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Well, what's the benefits? He forgives all your iniquities. He heals your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth with good things, that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Yes. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Oppressed by who? The devil, the powers of darkness. So again, please understand that we are in a time right now so vital right now, that God's benefits will be released to those who are covenant keepers. So we must maintain covenant with the Lord no matter what it takes. No matter what. Again, some things will be restored and some things are lost forever. But let God's will be done, not our own. Amen. Turn to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. I want to share with you that we are in such a critical time of influence of demonic activity. You know, today it was put on the news that the NAACP, that's it. NAACP, what does it mean? That's the National Association of Advanced something, I don't know, people. That's a group, well-known globally. They're well-known. They have today announced that they approve of same-sex marriage. They're for it. Unity. That means you know where they stand. They are not of Christ. They are of Antichrist. Does everybody got it? They are what? Antichrist. I'm telling you, they are coming out of the woodwork. They don't care anymore. The Antichrist realm does not care anymore. They are exposing themselves because they no longer fear. They have nothing to lose because they know their time is coming short. We are in a time right now so critical, so important. Again, I shared last week in a message out of the gray. You know, I don't care what people think, and I don't care what they think about me. That's all I care is what my Father thinks. I'm going to please Him. That's it. Because I'm going to stand before Him. And He says, if you're with me, who can be against you? So nothing can touch me. And if we stay dead to self, who cares? Amen? We cannot be no longer men pleasers, but God pleasers. We can no longer be self pleasers. We must become God pleasers. And in this time right now, it is so critical that we get understanding, that we stay in fellowship, that we be careful of association. Again, last week there was a message that was given called Out of the Gray. And it talked about exposing, because God is exposing the Antichrist spirits, even in the body of Christ, the spirit of Belial, which has infiltrated the body of Christ. And he is the head honcho of lies. And it's happening. People are being deceived and lied. And Matthew 7 and verse 21. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the what? The will of my Father in heaven. This is vital, isn't it? So we better know whether we're doing His will or not. His will is not assumed. You know whether you're doing His will or not. That's why we're to bring a self-examination. Am I really doing His will? What's my motives? What's my attitude? Am I doing His will? Am I learning? Am I learning the ways of the Lord, or am I still leaning on my own understanding? Am I trusting in God, or am I trusting in man? Amen? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Oh, Lord, didn't we preach in your name? Didn't we witness in your name? Then he will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Why? Because they did not maintain covenant. They still decided to do their will or serve God according to the way they want to. And it accounts for nothing in the eyes of God. Does everybody understand that? Verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not what? It did not fall. It did not break covenant. For it was founded on the rock, and the rock is called the anointing. In other words, we live for the presence of God. We live for His presence. We live for the anointing. His anointing, the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. We are backed by the anointing. Is everybody okay? And verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened a foolish man who has built his house on the sand. And the rain descended. In other words, trials came. Things began to happen. And floods came, the attack of the enemy. And the winds blew and beat on that house. And it what? It fell. And great was its fall. Again, those who do the will of God are different than those who think they're doing the will of God. Listen, we are in a time right now that there's so much influence. There is an area where people become double-minded. They do God's will in one area, but they won't do God's will in another. They only believe in partial Bible, but not the whole Bible. They are double-minded, and they are not maintaining covenant. It's impossible to maintain covenant unless you submit to what God says from cover to cover. Amen? Their desire was louder than the will of God. They did not maintain covenant, and great was their fall. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In verse 1. 2 Thessalonians verse 2. Chapter 2 and verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. In other words, his second coming. And that's where the body of Christ is gathered together and removed. And verse 3. Let no one what? Man, I can't tell you how many times the word deceive is in the Bible. Let no one deceive you, deceive you, deceive you. Many will deceive you in the latter days. Deception is Satan's greatest weapon. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the what? The falling away comes first, and again, it's begun. The falling away has begun. Why? Because many are no longer maintaining covenant. That is called the falling away. And the man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, but we know he's the devil. He is the spirit of Antichrist, promoting self. Has everybody got it? So again, the falling away has already begun. It is the breaking of covenant. They did not maintain covenant. They chose to do their will and not God's will. And Matthew 24. You came to hear the truth, right? Matthew 24. And verse 21. Matthew 24:21. It says, for then there will be great tribulation, such as not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time. No, never shall beast. So we are, there will be a time when there will be such great tribulation like there's never been before. But first there will be a tribulation, then a great tribulation. And it says, verse 22, unless those days were what? Shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. I want you to know something, that time has accelerated. Time is moving faster now than ever before. And it will continue to move faster and faster and faster. Sometimes we can sense it and sometimes we can't. But it's almost like, man, it's already such and such. It's like, whoa, time is moving fast. And it is. So time is accelerating because the falling away is increasing. I'm going to share that again. Time is accelerating because the falling away is increasing. Is everybody with me? Is everybody okay? Praise God. And so he said, unless the falling away or time had been accelerated, time would be shortened. In other words, many people would be caught up in all of this. Amen? There would be many lost. Now, in verse 23, then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to what? Deceive. If possible, even the elect. Even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. So it's not going to be like what man tells you. Again, please understand that time is accelerating. It's moving quicker because the falling away has already increased. It's also moving faster. Great tribulation. We are building towards a great tribulation. A time has begun to accelerate. Many will accelerate in growth and maintain covenant with humility. Many will accelerate in growth and become prideful. Others don't want to accelerate, and there is a place for them also. Many will become complacent with deception. And this is where we must be careful. In Deuteronomy 31, maintaining covenant. And verse 15, Deuteronomy 31, verse 15. It says, now the Lord appeared at the tabernacle in a pillar of cloud, in a pillar of clouds, and stood above the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, you will rest with your fathers, and this people will rise and play the harlot with the gods of the foreigners of the land, where they go to be among them, and they will forsake me and break my covenant. They will what? Forsake me and break my covenant, which I have made with them. How many of you know when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have a covenant with him because you gave him your life? Why? Because he gave his. So there is a blood covenant with the Lord God Almighty. But again, that covenant must be maintained. Is everybody all right? Praise God. Look at it. It says, for they forsook me and broke my covenant which I've made with them. Verse 17. Then my anger shall be aroused against them in that day, and I will forsake them. And I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured. And many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, have not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil which they have done, and that they have turned to other gods. That they what? Turn to other gods. They broke covenant and turned to other gods. How many of you know self can be another god? Amen. Didn't Jesus say something very vitally important? He says, deny yourself, because he knew that it would cause a falling away. People would break covenant with him. He said, deny yourself, pick up the cross, and what? Follow me. That's in Matthew 16, 24. He said, take off the old, put on the new, and become new. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and you don't have to go there, that there become lovers of self, lovers of money. Money, which is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. Has everybody got it? Why? Because money can become an individual's manna, which they call mammon. So they would rather get fed by money than by God. Has everybody got it? They'll do great things for money. Money is their God. And the Lord, and he says here, they will break covenant with me because they will have many foreign gods. So again, money is a motivating force of pride. It's a motivating force of pride. People are motivated by money more than the will of God. They are motivated by lust more than the will of God. And these individuals will not maintain covenant and begin to fall away, because they're going to do their will and not God's will. But they proclaim to do God's will. Oh, I love the Lord. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. No, that's not true. Because they've lost the fear of God. There really is not a relationship. There's really not a relationship. Those are users of God. They are not servants of God. Has everybody got it? But my Father is trying to get individuals to a place where they become humble and willing to do whatever it takes, so that they remove the gods of this world and serve the true God and truth, spirit, and in power. No longer fighting for their life, fighting for their bank accounts, fighting for their will, but fighting for his presence and his will to be done. Amen? Where the things that are motivating them are no longer from the world. They discern the motivation. They discern deception. They discern the influence. They are not blinded or dull or hardened-hearted. They are sensitive because their hearts are in the hands of the Lord. And they now carry his heart. In Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Maintaining covenant. Listen, we're hearing some very penetrating, tough messages from the Lord. He is trying to wake his people up. He's saying, wake up and come out of this delusion and deception that the world has something to offer you when it doesn't have anything to offer us. Nothing. Well, we want to walk in his benefits. Things are going to begin to collapse even greater. So when you don't have a job, who's going to be your provider? So when you lose family members, who's going to be your provider and your comforter? So when everything around you is fallen and you're the only one standing, who's going to be your friend? When you're all alone, the reality is that you're not. Who will you listen to? Who will you be led by? In Hebrews 10:15, would you read it with me? But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us far after, for after he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. And I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. In other words, he's going to impart in me and you the things that please him. In other words, we have no excuse. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. In other words, he will forgive us. Now, where there's remission of these, they're no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having the boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a what? True heart. True heart. Not deceptive. Not hardened. Not prideful. But a pure one. Sprinkled from evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Why is he saying? He said, listen, don't let the enemy bring separation because it causes manipulation. I'm going to say that again. Separation from assembling will cause manipulation from the enemy to you. Verse 26. For if we sin what? Well, how is a person going to sin willfully? That's a choice they make, isn't it? So they've been influenced, haven't they? Because either they've been separated, or there's been manipulation, or their associations are bringing a wrong impartation. And they think they can just do whatever they want, and God's going to provide for everything. Wrong. Covenant is associated with benefits. By maintaining covenant, he releases his promises. He desires that all man be saved. All man. But there's a difference between salvation. People can die, dying on their deathbed, can repent and ask the Lord to rescue them, and they can become saved. But there's a difference between just living for salvation and living for God. There's a difference. I don't live for salvation. I live for my Father because he died for me. I can't give him enough back. But he doesn't want anything from me but my love. And my love has to do with obedience. Because he says, if you love me, you'll obey me. So how can I say I love you when I still want to do my own thing? That's not love. That's not obedience. That is influence of deception. And it is broken covenant because we say one thing and do another. Is everybody okay? Laws are already in our spirit. We know what is right and wrong. We already know. We don't have an excuse. But there's justification and reasoning. Again, he says, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. In other words, you are lost because the blood has been trampled. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. If anyone who has rejected Moses' laws dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses, how much worse punishment do you suppose will be he thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing? And insulted the spirit of grace. And the word grace means God's plan. In other words, insulted the plan of God. Insulted the covenant. Trampled it. And broke away from it. Where there is no longer benefits. And salvation is a benefit. Has everybody got it? There are many who are breaking covenant and don't even know it. Thinking God's going to restore everything. No, he won't. No, he won't. We have no excuse. In Daniel chapter 11, if you don't learn, you will burn. Oh, Jesus knows my heart. That's right. And he's trying to expose it to you. Daniel 11:29. And at the appointed time, he shall return. He's talking about the spirits of Antichrist, the armies of Antichrist. Daniel 11 and verse 29. And at the appointed time, he shall return and go toward the south, but it shall not be like the former or the latter. For the ships from Cyprus shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return in rage against the holy covenant and do damage. In other words, the enemy will do damage. So he shall return and show regard for those who forsake the holy covenant. In other words, the enemy will show favor to those who forsake the holy covenant. We see it happening now. Men are showing men favor who are forsaking the covenant of the Lord. Does everybody understand that? Especially in the political arena. And all of these organizations that are now coming out and saying, yes, we promote same-sex marriage. Let's promote one another. There are even pastors who are coming out and saying these things. They're not my father's. No, they're not my father's. Verse 31. And forces will be mustered by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress. Then they shall take away the daily sacrifices and place their abomination of desolation. Those who do wickedly against the covenant shall corrupt with what? Flattery. Oh, they'll promote it. Yes, this is good. But the people who know their God, who truly know their God, who truly know their God, will maintain covenant. And they will be strong. And they will carry great, they will carry out great exploits. In other words, they won't care. They will not compromise. They won't be complacent. They would rather die than to fulfill their lust and their pockets with false money. Is everybody okay? Now, when they fall, they shall be aided with a little help. But many shall join with them by intrigue. And some of those of understanding will even fall. But they're not going to fall because of darkness. They will fall because of battle. To refine them, purify them, and make them white until the time of the end, because it is still for an appointed time. Antichrist spirits will promote the holy people to break covenant. Many will fall. Many will fall an honorable death, but many will fall a dishonorable death. Flattering will be the ruining of many. Only those who truly know the Lord will deny self and resist the offerings of the world to promote lust of self in the ways of deception. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Oh, glory. It's amazing how man has their plans. He laughs at him. In verse 19, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are what? His. He knows those who are his and those who are not. You may think, some people think that, oh, yeah, me and the Lord are tight. Right. I can just go out and do anything I want. Wrong. You don't know him. Because those who know him have a reverence to him, a respect to him, and honor him with their life, with their words, and with their money. They honor him all the way through. With their deeds, with everything they do, they honor him. They do not dishonor him. They honor him. If you know him, you honor him with everything. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having the seal of the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity or all evil. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a what? In other words, be careful of your associations. Your associations should be those who are calling out to God with a pure heart. Those who honor the Lord, respect him, who are submissive, obedient. Your associations will bring impartations. Has everybody got it? Your associations will bring impartations. This is vitally important. Associations bring impartations. You'll know them by their fruit and who they associate with. What they associate with. You'll know them. Has everybody got it? You'll know them by who they associate with and what they associate with. And of course, then there's the separation from the flock, which brings manipulation, flattery. You know, the Bible says that bad company corrupts good habits. There are many who carry a cancer of Antichrist and call themselves believers, because they still want to promote their will and they try to get others to follow them. In John chapter 9, God is an awesome love. But where there's love, there's also judgment. Amen? And John chapter 9. Now this is powerful. In verse 31. John chapter 9 and verse 31 says, now we know that God does not hear what? Sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Again, there's two things. Worshipper and does his will. See, there's a lot of worshipers, but they think that their worship justifies them not having to do the will of God.
Yeah, they go and worship. Oh, I love worship. Oh, I should still do my own will, though.
He doesn't hear you. You don't know him. Worshippers and those who do his will. Again, some only worship and choose to do their own will. Has everybody got it? 1 Timothy chapter 3. Maintaining covenant. We're at a critical time right now. Critical. 1 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 1 it says, this is a faithful saying, if a man desires a position as a servant or a bishop or some place in the body of Christ, it's a good thing. Everybody should have a desire. If you're a true believer, you should have a desire to fulfill a position in the body of Christ. And said, they must be blameless, a husband of one wife, tempered, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, and able to teach. How can you be a teacher if you're breaking covenant with God? Not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. And moreover, you must have a good testimony. In other words, you must be sent or promoted or approved among those who are outside, lest he fall into approach in the snare of the devil. This is vital. Many want to serve according to their own will. They can't discern association or fruits of their own self. God cannot trust them nor promote them. Does everybody understand? God will not trust you nor promote you. I don't care how many schools you go to, or how many cemetery schools you go to, or how many diplomas or certificates you have. It has nothing to do with the approval of God. God approves you by trust and obedience. He approves you by being steadfast. He approves you by what you discern between associations and fruit. What you approve of and what you disapprove of. If they are pleasing to him. Because he desires me and you to be like-minded with him. How can you trust someone that's not like-minded? Even a boss at work. Somebody at work. You're not going to ask somebody to do a job for you that doesn't understand what they're doing. Amen? One of the things that God, and by the Spirit, tries to do is to get us to become like-minded, like-willed, like-purposed, so we can become trusted. Has everybody got it? Again, he will not promote individuals into that arena. He won't even put it in their heart. Again, many people want to serve, but they want to do it their way. And God doesn't approve of it. Because and in this, many will begin to drift away and fall and start their own assignments. Does everybody understand this? Because the falling away has begun and time is shortening. Again, we are at a critical, critical time. And the powers of darkness are trying to truly promote self. Self. In other words, people move out of position because they become anxious. Yeah, I want to serve the Lord. I'm going to do whatever he wants me to do. Good. Go on the corner and hand out flyers, hand out tracts. No, no, no. I want to do it my way. Come on, I want people to see me. I want them to know me. We are novice and full of pride. Listen, I didn't ask for this job. This was not my desire. I wanted to be on the corner. But he did it. I still don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up, but praise God. But in the meantime, this is the job he's given me to do. I don't know what's tomorrow, and I don't care about tomorrow. In fact, I don't care about yesterday. The only thing I care about is whether I please him or not. That's it. That's my life, and that's what your life should be. To be a God pleaser, not a man pleaser. In all your days. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6. Maintaining covenant. Many are breaking covenant, and many are falling away. In verse 6, he says, we command you. Command. There wasn't an ask. We command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly. It's a command. You withdraw from them. So if you associate with a brother that's walking disorderly, your associations are the same thing as fruits. And God judges you by your associations and your fruits. that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly, not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we did not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, that if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we fear that there are some who walk about among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. And there are those who work for God, but it's really not God they're working for. They're working for money. They're God. Hello. Their heart is really not to work for the funds to spread. Has everybody got it? It's to work to build their own empire. That's the wrong thing, isn't it? That's the wrong motive. Well, I want to provide for my children and so forth. There's nothing wrong with providing for your children and so forth. But God is going to provide if you provide for him. Has everybody got it? See, fear comes in that arena for tomorrow. Well, what about tomorrow? How's this going to happen? How's that going to happen? Well, then you don't trust them. You don't know them. He says, if you're a covenant keeper, you have benefits. You got a retirement plan, health plan, and you don't have to take a mark. You're already sealed. There's all kinds of benefits that he has for us if we're in divine order and maintaining covenant. Amen? Now listen. It says in verse 12, now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. Amen? Don't grow weary in doing good. Maintain all the way through. Maintain. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, but don't keep company with them. Why do you want to promote them? Because what you associate with, you promote. Amen? 1 Corinthians 5. Glory in verse 9. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexual immoral people. Now, this is powerful. Look at this. He says, yet I certainly did not mean with the sexual immoral people of this world. He's talking about those in the body of Christ. Or with covetous, or with extortioners, or idolaters. Since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or reviler or drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person until they turn from that way. Amen? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves evil persons. Don't associate with them. Why? Because associations will bring wrong impartations. Right associations will bring right impartations. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. And your associations will either earn the trust of God or lose it. Jude, the book of Jude. And when you give your last breath, there's no more turning. It's over with. When you give your last breath, it's over with. So who you serve when you die is where you go. But. Jude 14. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men and women also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Let me tell you, when you speak against a man or woman of God, you spoke against him. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage, trying to convince them that it's okay to just shoot the mouth off against anyone. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they would, that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts, their will. These are sensual persons who cause division, not having the Spirit. In other words, they are not in the Spirit. They are associating with the spirit of Antichrist, not the Spirit of Christ. So everybody got it? Flatterers who like to take advantage and speak against dignitaries that they have no understanding about, doing their own will. 1 John chapter 2, maintaining covenant. Oh, many will approach you and say, listen, can't the world offer you something better? Yes, couldn't you be successful? Man, with your talents and abilities, you'd be successful in the world. Yeah. Praise God. Well, our destiny is to infiltrate the world with our talents and abilities, but to destroy the works of the devil, not to promote his works. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. To abide is to maintain covenant. Be careful of false influence with associations that bring wrong impartations and separation from assembling, which brings manipulation. I want to close at Hebrews 13. Everybody must work out their own salvation with fear and trembling, not with pride, arrogance, and assuming. Hebrews 13 and verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And everybody said, amen. That's all in all, isn't it? Amen. That we be pleasing to him and allow him to perfect us. Again, we must be careful of associations and separations. We'll try to cause you to break covenant with your Father and lose your benefits. We're at a critical time, a tremendous change. A flood is about to hit this country, and you need to be on solid ground, because the falling away has already begun and time is accelerated. be ready. Be prepared. Your part in the body of Christ has nothing to do with how big or how small. It's the part that is important. Everybody does their part, no matter where or how. Amen. It doesn't matter how much or how little. Everybody gets the same reward. It's got nothing to do whether you're behind a pulpit preaching or you're on a corner handing out tracts or out handing out water or in the jails, wherever you, it doesn't matter. Let God be God and let us be his sons to fulfill his will. And let's not be self-promoting, but allow the Lord to build a house so that we are on solid ground and not sand. So we're not caught up in the falling away, but we are covenant keepers on solid ground all the way through. Pleasers of God and not pleasers of men. Oh, you'll be hated. You'll be mocked. But blessed are those who stand for the truth and willing to do his will and not their own. Nobody escapes standing before him. Nobody. We stand before him right now. If you don't comprehend that you stand before him right now, you don't know him. And it's time that we know him, because only those who truly know him will do great exploits. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed, and we commit to you all things. Again, we ask for your forgiveness in all those areas. Foolishness with associations that are displeasing to you. Things that we touch and agree with that are not of your will. Lord, have mercy upon us and let your grace abound. Wash us with the blood and strengthen us that we may say yes to you in everything. And that we may be well pleasing to you as vessels of honor. That we may die an honorable death and not a dishonorable death, but to bring glory to you all of our days. Let the seed be imparted and be rooted and protected by the blood, that it grow and bear fruit for your glory, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Give God glory.